Well, I'm going to cheat on you and read another passage as well. So I'll go ahead and read it now. You can even look in your pew Bible if you want, because I didn't give this message to Bob Reed, so you won't see the passage up on the screen. But the passage that we read from Luke 18, 15 to 17 about Jesus talking with the disciples and about the children immediately follows this passage, Luke 18, 9 to 14. Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Luke 18, 19 to 14. I'm in verse 10. Jesus tells this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves and rogues and adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, who was standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, and he was beating his breast and saying, Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, Jesus went on, this man, this tax collector, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. And then the next passage is about people bringing infants to see Jesus. I was one of five children. I was the second of five. That was the rebellious one, if you study about birth order. The number two is the problem child, of course. And I was that one. But for my parents, hospitality was truly an important part of their lives. They loved to welcome people to our house and our table. Many times when I was growing up, there would be extra people for a meal. Family, relatives, you know, or neighbors, or church friends, or even foreign students. I remember we used to have students from Japan or Iran or France or Germany at our table. I don't think it really mattered to my parents who these people were, because for them, if you sat around our table for a meal, you were family. You were family. In fact, there were plenty of times when there were too many people there for everyone to sit at the big table. So in that case, there would be a children's table. Any of you remember about children's tables? Yes, you do, of course. Well, that wasn't a bad thing. We children could have our own conversation, tell our own jokes. We got our own basket of rolls. And there were a few favorite aunts or uncles or friends that we kids would beg to come sit at our table. Come sit at our table, Uncle Phil. And sure enough, Uncle Phil would announce, I'm sitting at the kids' table. And then he would explain, because I'm the favorite uncle. The truth was that we kids may have sat at the smaller table, but we knew that we were part of the family. We weren't shuttled off into a different place. We were part of the meal there in that room. In many ways, I think that's why I like singing at the communion table, that invitation to the table. Welcome, welcome, welcome to our family table. To me, you see, communion is the church's family table. Communion is when the church family gathers. When we reach out to include everyone, when we might even think of people far away, former pastors, former members, some who've moved away, like Lindsay and Chuck Riddle, for example, or even those who have moved on to eternal life, but have been part of our meal together over the years. The communion table, I think, is our family table, and it is especially a table where children belong with us as we gather. So today, with the communion table set before us, I wanted to lift up children, especially remembering that we're having our day camp this week, and we are preparing our hearts, our minds, our prayers to support day camp, because it's a week of vital ministry with children. Marcia told us last week, 1 week of VBS or day camp is worth a whole year of Sunday school. It compresses it, it lifts it up, it seals and anchors it. And with day camp, we will be welcoming our own children like Abby during this important week, but also neighborhood children as well, some we don't yet even know. And they'll be studying peace. Perhaps you know that. Their study is called Peace Works, because our day camp will look at how different cultures understand peace, what words they use for peace, and how they show peace to one another and to the world. So we're talking about what peace looks like, what peace feels like, what we are like when we are people of peace. But as I thought about that, I was also remembering once again that Hope is hosting this day camp because, as a church, Hope strives to follow the example set by Jesus Christ to welcome, nurture, heal, and provide, serving as a beacon of God's love in our community. If we do that, if we live out our mission statement, then this day camp is an important part of what we do. We know that Hope welcomes all and loves children, and Hope intends to continue to be a congregation that welcomes people of all generations. Well, in that earlier passage from Luke 9 to 14, Jesus tells a parable about two men praying in the temple. One is a religious man and proud of how good he is, of his status in the community. He stands tall and he prays clearly and loudly, saying how glad he is to be respected, honored, not like other people. And he looks over at another man praying nearby, grateful that he is not like that sinful, detestable man. Well, he was detestable, right? A tax collector. Sure. Meanwhile, Jesus tells about that other man, the tax collector, the sinner, who comes to pray, bending his head down low and praying quietly, saying, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." Now, I don't know if you ever use that sentence yourself, but I commend it to you, because there may be times when that's exactly the prayer you and I need to lift up. "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." But Jesus says, having described those two kinds of people praying — I don't know that there were actually those people there, I think he may have just been describing the kind of people you might find in the temple — but Jesus says, "This man asking for your mercy, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. The first will be last, and the last will be first." Right? But look how Jesus, in this case and in other cases, as we know, Jesus turns our expectations and our evaluations on their head. The good citizen may turn out to be humbled, and the humblest one in Jesus' esteem is exalted. And having shared the truth of that parable, again turning our expectations on their heads, he tells the story. We are told, Luke tells the story about the disciples sending the children away. I know how hard it can be. I have kids, 3 kids of my own. Kids are wiggly. They can fuss and make noise, or they can be real quiet. They want attention. They can be disruptive. They can be pesky. It's a good word, pesky. But Jesus said, let them come. Let them come. Moreover, he says, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. So once again, Jesus makes us rethink our assumptions about life. Who is important? And what is it that's important about them? What is the role of children, for example? And Jesus says, let them come. Let them come. One of the Facebook pages I spend time on now and then is one called, I can never remember what it's called, Things They Didn't Teach Us in Seminary. You know, and so, you know, so somebody will post a situation, and lots of times it's about children in worship or children's sermons or something about a family with a lot of kids and somebody who told them that their kids were too loud or whatever. And there will be 180 comments because we have a lot to say about that, we preachers, but we Christians, we church people. We love our nice, dignified worship, but we also want children here. Somebody says, you'll read, as you read that 185, it's hard to read 180. So stop, Jenny, at 110, you're done. But over and over again, somebody will say, a church without children is a dying church. So if we like our quiet and our dignity, do we also want to be dying? So that's something to think about. Something to think about. Jesus said, what is the role of children? Let them come. They are the kingdom of God. And that's why here at Hope, we do everything we can to welcome children, even when they're pesky and loud and ask too many questions or too shy and don't ask any questions at all. Even when they wiggle and interrupt, they are part of the family. They belong here. That's why I bring those scarves here for the kids to wave around when they're singing. There's no big message about that except you belong here. And you may not want to sing all those words. They may be too hard for you to read or something, but you can follow the rhythm. And they like to pick out two of those colors and bring them up here to me. They'll come right up here looking at me and say, and I'll come get them. And then they'll stand there so I can kind of bounce the scarves on their head as a blessing. That's one of the things that we do. Hope does everything it can to welcome children because they belong here. And we'll teach them this week about peace. And we'll show them that we love them. And we'll want them to have hope. So let's ask God to bring lots of children to Hope this week and to connect us in some way to their families and to bring lots of children to our family table to help us learn from those children how we too can be part of the kingdom of God. Let us pray. We are your children, Lord. Help us to come like children, trusting, curious, open, accepting, humble, ready to be fed at your table. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.